And now to today's lesson. In the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at God's conversation with Abraham in Genesis 17. We have discussed the fact that God changed Abraham and Sarah's names, giving them part of his name into their name. And in exchange, he took Abraham's name and put Abraham's name into his own name, and from that day he was called the God of Abraham. We have also discussed the sign or the seal, the token of the covenant, being circumcision. Now today we're going to focus on Genesis 17 from verse 15 to 19. I'm reading to you from the New King James Version. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him." Back in Genesis 15, when Abraham asked God for a son, God promised him much more than he actually asked for. Abraham asked for one son, but God promised him a son plus more descendants than he, that's Abraham, would be able to count. Abraham's son would be the fulfillment of God's promise to him, not the fulfillment of the natural process of conception. That is one big reason why Ishmael could never be the fulfillment of that promise. There was nothing special or remarkable about Ishmael's conception at all. But the birth of the promised son, who is Isaac, would be a complete miracle. It had to be completely impossible. And so God waited until Abraham was physically incapable of fathering a child before giving him Isaac. Sarah had always been barren, and she was past the age of childbearing. Her menstrual cycle had ceased. Abraham was 100 years old and no longer fertile. The writer of Hebrews said that Abraham was as good as dead. The Bible translation called The Message says that Abraham's loins were dead and shriveled. Paul also recognizes the fact that both Sarah and Abraham were infertile when Isaac was conceived and born. Just like the conception of Jesus Christ, Isaac's conception was completely supernatural. Hebrews 11, verse 11 to 12, in The Message says, "By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said." That's how it happened, that from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. Romans 4, verse 18 to 21 in the Amplified says, "For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be." he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question, concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Abraham and Sarah both laughed at the thought of having a child at 100 years of age and 90 years of age respectively. When the child was born, according to God's instruction, they named him Isaac, which literally means "will laugh" in the future tense. God included Isaac in his covenant and then changed his name to include him. And so God became known as the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham and Isaac. Thus, God is the God of the Father of a multitude and the God of future laughter. Isn't that cool? God is the God of future laughter. As we look at God's relationship with Abraham and how it evolves, how it changes, we see that God actually took Abraham step by step through many lessons in his life, teaching him about himself. After lessons, we always get tested, right? And so it was with Abraham too. One of the big lessons that God taught Abraham was that physical death was not the end of life. In Genesis 22, we read about God testing Abraham's faith by telling him to sacrifice Isaac to him. And this is something that we will look at further in a future lesson. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the reason that Abraham was able to offer up Isaac was because he believed that God was able to raise Isaac up from the dead. Hebrews 11 verse 19. This certainly agrees with Genesis 22 verse 5, which tells us that Abraham fully expected to return with Isaac after sacrificing him. And yet, the Abraham that we see before that test was fearful of death. Twice, he asked Sarah to lie about being his wife because he was scared that men would kill him in order to take her as their wife. We read about that in Genesis 12, verse 11 to 13, and Genesis 20, verse 2, and verses 11 to 13. He was so fearful of dying that he was willing to sacrifice his wife's purity to save his own skin. Not only that, he almost sacrificed God's promise. Because what if Sarah had conceived from another man? So what changed with Abraham? Well, I am so glad that you asked. Let's take a good look at this. God demonstrated to Abraham that he could take what was dead and bring it to life. God used Sarah's barrenness and Abraham's impotency to teach this powerful lesson. God's timing was perfect. Abraham had to have no human reason left to hope. He could not trust in his own body. That's how he made Ishmael, for God's promise, who is Isaac, to come to pass. God waited until all Abraham had left to hope in and trust was God's word, nothing more, nothing less. God showed Abraham that he was able to bring life out of his and Sarah's dead, infertile bodies. Abraham was unable to contribute a single sperm cell to Isaac naturally. God miraculously brought new life out of his dead loins and Sarah's dead womb. In fact, God was so effective in this matter that Abraham actually fathered more children later on. God taught Abraham to utterly depend on him and to trust him. He taught Abraham that death was not the end of life. He taught Abraham that he was faithful and true. He promised that Abraham would have a son, and that was Isaac, and that from Isaac would come many descendants. More than the grains of sand on the beach, and more than the stars in the sky. Jesus told the people in Matthew 3 verse 9 and Luke 3 verse 8 that God was able to raise up descendants for Abraham out of stones. There is nothing more dead than a stone. Jesus was trying to illustrate to the people that the descendants of Abraham were born not by the natural process, but by a spiritual process of God giving life to that which was dead. This spiritual process is called resurrection.